God's got it. Give God some praise. Come on and give God some praise. Whatever you want, God's got it. Whatever you need, God's got it. Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands to the Lord. Come on and lift your hands to the room, all over the room. That's a very important statement. Whatever you want from God today, whatever you need from the Lord today, He has it for you. Open your heart and open your mind and open your spirit to receive the word today. Whatever it is, whatever your heart desires, God got it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this choir. We thank you for this pulpit. We thank you for Reverend Armstrong and his family in Shallow Baptist Church. Your presence is in the room. Your spirit is in the room. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Infuse us with your giftedness that we may leave here today inspired by your word to do justice, love mercy, and walk humble before you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Super senior choir. The super senior choir sing better than some young choirs that I've known. Lord have mercy. Reverend Armstrong, you got something here, man. I was just impressed that we got this many folks up at 8 o'clock in the morning to come out to serve. This is early for me, but praise the Lord. You got some young folks in here, too. Lord have mercy. God bless you. And I was my dad's pastor for years. I'm the son of a preacher and son of a pastor. I'm a pastor's kid. My on my dad's side of the family, my uncle's all pastors, and I'm one of them PK kids who, you know, there are two types of PK kids. One who is the angel that fell from heaven, and the other who seemed to be raised up from the depths of, you know what? That was me. I kept my mother praying. But one thing I got to tell you, encourage your kids to keep bringing your kids to church. Because as much trouble I caused my parents, I always went to church on Sunday. I raised some sand in Philadelphia, but I've always went to church on Sunday. I would leave the club, go home with my girlfriend, bring her to church, sit in the pew and say, listen to him, and I would go to sleep because I was tired from partying all night. But you never know how that word sinks in and transforms an individual. Now, I'm not talking about changing an individual, because when you change an individual, it's possible that they can change back. But a transformation takes place. There's no going back. Amen. I was downstairs talking with Sister Harriet. We were talking about these issues of justice and what's been happening through the civil rights movement, through her time and my work, and I've just been inspired by her. She almost had me preach the sermon to her, because that's what I'm talking about today. But I thank God for you guys. I thank God for Reverend Armstrong and the work that he's doing in this community, and he's just been a phenomenal individual that I've met and actually fell in love. I love his spirit and what he's doing. I want to thank my brother John Harmon for coming out. John's done some great work, and it's important that we understand that when we're talking about doing the work of God, sometimes the work of God is not necessarily always happening in the heavenly realms. There's some stuff that God want to do right here on earth, and he want to use you to do it. Amen? So if I can, I'm going to speak briefly to you. I'm going to try to teach a little bit, because I can't preach like Reverend Armstrong, so I'm going to teach a little bit. If you turn to your Bible to Luke chapter 22, verse 24, Luke chapter 22, verse 24, 27. When you have it, say amen. And I'm reading from the NIV version. The 24th verse says, "And the dispute arose among many of them as to which of them would be considered the greatest. Jesus said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles' Lord is over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that.'" Did you hear that? "You are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table?" That's a question. But Jesus said, "But I am among you as one who serves." May the Lord have blessing to the reading of his word. If I could use my text for today, my title would be, "Just having a seat at the table is not enough. We must serve." Let me give you a little, you can have your seats now. Let me give you a little background. I'm quite sure you guys understand, you know that this, what was going on at this time. This is what we call the Lord's Supper. This was his last meal that he was having with his disciples. He had preached, he had taught, he had healed, he had moved, he had conquered. And he was at the moments in his life when he needed them the most. And what happened? There were some rumblings among the disciples, arguing over who would be great. Jesus is ready to die, preparing himself to die, to go to the cross for the sins of the world. And those who he trained are arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And sometimes, listen, Dr. King talked about this, the drum major's mentality. Sometimes we can get a little, you know, a little puffed up a little bit when we achieve a little certain things, when we get our education, when we make a little money, and we're going about our life, and we don't realize that there are others who still need our help, and we're arguing and fighting over who should be this and who should be that. But Jesus said, "My example is the one who has served." So let's talk a little bit about what was going on with his disciples. You know, all of what they've seen and heard from Jesus obviously haven't fully penetrated their heart at the time. They were still caught up with the allures of the world. They were caught up with seeking power, seeking political status, seeking wealth. And sometimes when we are, now listen, let me explain this to you. When you are a disciple of God, you are one of the leaders of this world. You are the chosen generation. And even sometimes the chosen generation can get caught up with the allures of the world. Am I right? Am I right about it? Now listen, it is not difficult to get to a place, and we should want to get to a place to achieve success, right? God brought us here to achieve a certain amount of success. And that's not the question. That's not the issue. The issue is, how are you going to behave once you achieve that success? Sometimes we think that our biggest struggles is when we're going through and when we're down and out and when we don't have much. But I'll tell you, our biggest struggle is when we achieved enough and accumulated enough that we can sit back and rest and forget about those who haven't got there yet. Am I right about it? So let's look at what Jesus did. What does it mean to serve? What does it mean? Let's examine the events of today and how it relates to Jesus' teaching, right? Can we do that for a moment? So there's been this national debate and national discussion since Ferguson and since Baltimore and since New York. We've had this national discussion about what's happening around the country around race relations. Am I right about it? And some of us have been a part of those discussions. Some of us historically have been a part of those discussions. And some of us have come through the era of the Jim Crow and the civil rights era. Am I right about it? And we've fought and we've won those victories. And sometimes we pass that down to our children to take up the mantle and fight and win those victories. Unfortunately, all of them haven't taken up that mantle. So the battered, the bruised, and the disinherited are still existing. And America has been awakening to that problem when it's on television, when we see the riots that are happening in Baltimore. I don't have to go too far to talk about what's happening in Trenton, right? The things that we see that's going on in Trenton, the things that we see that's going on in Bridgeton and Millville and Gloucester and Salem County, some of the poorest counties in New Jersey. People are still struggling, trying to get a piece of the American dream. Trying to fight and find the way, the promise of that liberty and freedom and equality. But for some of us, far too many of us haven't achieved that. Haven't gotten there yet. And I want to explain to you, if I can, a little bit, that sometimes we've been pitted amongst ourselves against each other. We've been listening too much to the media on how the media portrays our folks, right? Right? So when we get into a level of success where God wants us to be, we can't fall into the lure and the trap of thinking what we're hearing on TV is correct. Sometimes they say the poor is poor because they're too lazy. Have you heard that one? Not taking into account that the poor work 2 and 3 jobs, right? Right? Sometimes we think the poor are all criminals, right? Not taking into account that the unjust justice system has imprisoned and entrapped so many of our young men in jail for stuff that's unnecessary, right? Sometimes we talk about, well, if those ghetto folks would just get their education. Not taking into account that the education systems in my minority communities has been decimated. Right? Then it's the other one. Well, if all the single mothers, that's the problem with the urban America, the single parent mothers, right? Not taking into account that the policies that this government or this system of oppression imposes on folks affect those single parents the worst. So what did Jesus say about this? So my first point, if I can go up the first point, service is inclusive and not exclusive. Let's look at that. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Service. What is service? Service is inclusive and not exclusive. Because sometimes we forget, we ourselves fall into the trap of labeling these folks, the disinherited, the same labels that others label them. Am I right about it? Listen, can I be real with you a moment? Let's get serious for a moment. Sometimes we see those folks on TV, and they always got the ones on TV. The hair doesn't look as beautiful as this young lady's hair look. There's oftentimes a few teeth missing here and there, right? And the language is not exactly appropriate that it should be. And then we find ourselves being ashamed of our own race. So how does this relate to what Jesus was talking about? Jesus was talking about Luke, one of my favorite books. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Right? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for those who are in prison. He has built me the recovery of a sight to the blind and set the oppressed that they may go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So it's ironic that Jesus' message, his whole purpose that said he came to reach out to the folks that we just was talking about. The so-called lazy, the so-called criminals, the so-called uneducated. These are the folks who Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to reach out to these folks. Are you listening? Yes. The ones that sometimes we get ashamed of. The ones that sometimes we forget. The ones that sometimes we don't pay enough attention to. Sometimes we need to get out of our cars and start walking our communities and see what's really going on in our communities. Am I right? So it's important that we understand that when Jesus is talking about the greatest among you are those who serve, service is inclusive, not exclusive. We can't exclude those who we get ashamed of sometimes. Am I right? Some of them are right, even our family members. Right? That's the truth about it. We all got them in our family. Am I right about it? But it's funny, when Jesus mentioned this, when he talks about this, he's in the temple, And he's saying, and he opened that book and he read from the book of Isaiah and he closed the book and he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. And he closed it and got angry with them. They got angry because he included the Gentiles in this. He included the prostitute. He included the drug addict. He included the whoremonger. He included everyone who we exclude at times. And listen, listen. When God came to save and forgive the sins of the world, there was no sin left unsaved. Every last one of them was included the sins of the world. Every last one of them. So there are times when we have to remind ourselves. Remind ourselves when we achieved a certain level of success. Sister Harry and I was talking about the one thing that impressed, I met the president during my time and working. The one thing that impressed me about him was he came from a single parent family. Father abandoned him. Raised by white grandparents. But still achieved a level of success, but went back into the urban environments in Chicago and began to work for justice. It's not enough for us just to sit at the table, but we must serve. Jesus' background gave him the perfect, his background gave him the perfect opportunity to elaborate and to teach about the prophets because he came from a community just like Trenton. Jesus was a Jew under Roman occupation, poor. He understood the political and the psychological and the economic outcomes of poverty. He identified with that. He understood that. He understood why prostitutes were prostituting because they couldn't have any other way to take care of themselves when their husbands divorced them back in those times. Look, we're not justifying a crime, but you have to be compassionate enough to understand if I have no other way to survive, I'll do what I have to do. Given you, if you were put in that situation, don't say what you wouldn't do. Am I right about it? But he was prepared. What Jesus was able to do was understand and identify with this community. So what made him different from any other prophets at that time? What made him different? One of the things that Jesus was able to do and was able to work through this helped him believe in what his Father had sent him to do. And he was able to work through. When you're in these communities, when you're identifying with folks, when you're talking to people, you're developing the capacity to have compassion. Amen. When Jesus walked around all the times in Galilee and then the woman at the well, you name it, the woman caught in adultery, you think he was just walking around. He was identifying, developing the ability to be compassionate, understanding the stories of what was happening to them people, embracing what was going on, identifying what was going on, understanding what's going on. That's the only way you can develop the ability to be compassionate. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to be able to connect with people. You have to be able to walk where people walk. You have to be able to understand and talk the language they're speaking. Sometimes we forget this, you know, we put Jesus on the pedestal because he was God. But in his human nature, in his human self, he had to learn and study and identify with people. That's why you found him among thieves and sinners all the time. That's why he was there. That's why he was accused of being a drunkard. That's why he was accused of being a bastard. These are the folks that he sat at the table with. And he was willing to work through all the bigotry. Let me break it down. The bigotry, the religious system, the stereotypes that required him to be a Jew. Are you listening to me? Jews at that time had some bigotry, had some racism, had stereotypes against the Gentiles. Jesus had enough understanding to meet with these people to work through those same systems that cause you and I sometimes to be critical and judgmental. To fall into the traps of stereotypes. Believing that it's so. Self-fulfilling prophecies. In order to see humanity, in order to see, Jesus understood, in order to see the suffering of folks, he had to be among them. So this is what he talked about. This is what he's trying to explain to his disciples. Listen, while they were arguing and fighting about who would be great, he's trying to plead with them. Listen, with you it shall not be. His message, Jesus' message, was directed to the minority community. He said, listen, I'm coming to address the house of Israel and the leaders that portray themselves as in the house of Israel. I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to explain to you that don't look so much at what the government is doing. Look at some of what your local leaders are doing. I want to prepare. Listen, there are many doctors, lawyers, politicians, you name it, that has been in this building, has been in this sanctuary, and there are more to come. But in order to be a leader in God's kingdom, you must be willing and being able to serve. So my point number two is resist the urge to assimilate and to segregate. Sometimes, as leaders in our communities, when we get out and get arrive at a certain place, we fall into the assimilation. And you don't understand the difference between assimilation is? Assimilation is when Carter G. Woodson talked about this. I don't know if you ever heard of Carter G. Woodson. He wrote the book called The Miseducation of the Negro. That's a good book. You need to read that one. The disciples were caught up in that. They were thinking Jesus was going to establish the kingdom and they were going to have it all. And they forgot the poor, the depressed. They forgot his message. And so there is an urge, there is a tendency here in America to achieve that American dream and to assimilate into a culture that requires you to lose everything about who you are. Your story, your background, your understanding, what God shaped and molded you to be. And we get caught up, and that's what, look at that, Matthew 6:31-34. He says, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father know that you have need of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own. Seek ye first. We're talking about serve. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, or another in the Hebrew context, righteousness and judgment in this context can be the same. And all of a sudden, seek ye first that the kingdom of God is about justice, working and serving for justice, working to relieve the suffering of those who are oppressed. And it's hard to do that when we're too busy being consumed by this consuming society. It is very difficult. Dr. King said it himself on his last speech at Mason Temple. I would like to live a long life. Yes, I would like to have those things. But I just want to do God's will. And God's will is if you take care of being just and giving mercy, I will take care of you. Stop worrying about where your next meal is going to come from. Do justice. Tell someone it's not enough to just sit at the table. But we must serve. We must serve and work for justice. We can't forget our brothers and sisters who are struggling. Focus on serving the poor. Focus on releasing those who are in prison unjustly. Focus on educating the uneducated, tearing down the walls of the policies that are oppressed people. This is the message that Jesus was coming to say, that he was coming to give. Of course we all want success. I want it. I like nice things. I like to look good. I don't look as good as the deacon over here, my brother, that brother right there. I said, I need to get a few pointers from him. And Jesus is not speaking against this. He's telling you, yes, those things are honorable. You will get that. But don't let that be your first priority. That's why he kept harping on the issues of the heart. That's why he kept coming back. Recognize that the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within. Jesus understood if someone is able to control the inner man, that he has total control over you. If we allow this American system to control our desires, then our heart is in the wrong place. Where your heart is, there where your treasures be also. This is what happened to our communities. Some of our leaders have forgotten that. God had raised them up and put them at the table of power and position, but they've forgotten their hearts are in the wrong place. The heart Jesus kept talking about. Inward man. Where your heart is, that's where your treasures will be also. The treasure of us, listen, there's nothing wrong with success. That's not what he's saying. But be careful that that doesn't consume you. That way you'll be willing to do anything to get what you want. You'll be willing to compromise and sell out your own people because you want success. You want power and authority. The kingdom of heaven is within. True leaders must always ask the question, how responsible am I for the well-being of my neighbor? That's the question we must always ask. When God put you at the table, and God has put many of us at the table, when he puts us at the table, we must always ask how responsible I am for my brother and sister. Are you listening? He will put you there. He will place you there. And he will require you that search your man, search your heart, and make sure that you're leading people for justice, that you're fighting for justice. Point number three, and I'm gonna close up soon. Point number three, optimism is a matter of will and not a matter of circumstance. Optimism is a matter of will and not a matter of circumstance. Luke 22, in the 28th verse, that last verse, it says, you are those who have stood by me through my trial. This is Jesus talking to the disciples after he had told them, you must serve. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father has conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus, in the face of all this adversity, knowing that he's going to the cross, and his prized students have forgot all of his messages, have forgot about he feeding the 5,000, have forgotten about all that he's done, the miracle worker, have forgotten that he's taught them certain things. They forgot all these things. And listen, there are going to be times when you're going to be at the table and you're going to feel like you're by yourself. No one is listening. No one is fighting for you. No one has your back. But optimism is a matter of will, not of circumstances. Whenever you're going through, whenever you're facing opposition, choose to be optimistic. Understand that God is with you, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Stand up for truth and justice, and God got your back. Tell somebody, God got your back. God's going to put you at the table. He's going to put you at the table of opportunity. He's going to put you at the table of success. And when everybody else chooses to forget your brothers and sisters, you say, no, 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 no. We need affordable housing in some of these wealthy communities. We need an education system that's going to educate our kids. I'm going to stand up for truth and justice. I said I wasn't going to preach, but Lord help me. Optimism is a matter of choice. Sometimes you're going to have to walk alone. Sometimes you're going to be by yourself, John. David said, yea, though I walk through the valleys and shadows of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. He has prepared a table in the presence of my enemies, because I'm going to stand for justice no matter what it takes, no matter what they say about me, no matter what they talk about me. Justice shall be my film. Justice shall be my calling. I'm a child of God, and I have others with me. And we're going to stand on the arms of God and do what is right and raise up a community, raise up some believers that understand
that we must work and we must serve. We must work for justice and serve for justice. And when God gets through with me, I don't have to worry about my heart not being right, because I know He has penetrated, He has transformed me, and I know that I can listen very attentively to my heart now, because the Holy Spirit shall lead me and guide me into all truth. And now that I know that I have the ability, that I am smart enough, that I am pretty enough, that I look good as a child of God, that I am educated enough to speak truth to power. No, my brother, they are not discarded children. No, my brother, they are not ghetto, but they are children of the Most High God. I will stand up when no one will stand for them. I will speak when no one will speak for them. I will yield until the Holy Spirit, because God has chosen me and put me at the table in His kingdom. And His kingdom is full of justice, mercy, righteousness. No matter what I do, I'm willing to take the chance. I'm willing to risk everything, because Jesus told me, take no thought for those things. Don't worry about those things, but be about my business, and I will take care of you. My business is come to raise up the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and that the liberty of the Lord, the time of the Lord is here. His favor is upon you, His favor is upon me, and now I can go in the courtroom and speak truth to power. Now I can go into my boss's office and say, I deserve a raise. Yes. I said I wasn't going to preach. But understand something. God got your back. It's not enough to just sit at the table, but we must serve. Serve for justice. Serve for justice. And He said, don't worry about those other things. I'm going to take care of you. When God has molded and shaped you, listen to your heart. It will remind you. The heart will speak to you how you made it through those storms. It will remind you when you didn't know where your next meal come from. Someone knocked on the door. It will remind you when you didn't think you were smart enough that He got you through. Your heart will remind you when those said you weren't pretty enough, God still elevated you anyhow. Your heart will remind you. Remind you for the purpose to serve justice. Far too many of us in our communities have listened to the stereotypes and has accepted that. And they become a self-fulfilling prophecy for us. But Jesus said, you are my child. I will put you at the table. Just don't forget when you get there. Don't forget when you get there. Remember your brother and sister. Work for justice. And your heart desires, I will bring it to pass. Let the church say amen. Can you stand on your feet, please? No one can tell your story the way you can. No one. Listen. God has work for you. God has a plan for you. He has called you and He'll place you at the seat of the table. And He'll place you there to serve. Is there anyone in here today that felt like they've far too long have listened to those stereotypes have demeaned and belittled your own self, have believed the lie that they report about people of color on TV, God wants to raise you up. God wants to transform that heart, that your heart begin to talk to you about the things that God, your gifts, your talents, your skills, your abilities, that when he placed you at the table, you remember where you came from. Is there one who wants the Lord to come into their heart and transform them? The ministers are out. The deacons are out. Is there one who want to give their heart to God so that he can put you at the table? The table to serve. Come on, choir, sing them. Praise the Lord. Is there one who has forgotten that it was God that put you in your position, that placed you there, and need a refresher to say, Lord, I need to continue to serve. We want to pray with you as well. And I stand in prayer myself. And sometimes I'm guilty. Sometimes I'm guilty of believing those stereotypes, of being ashamed of what I see on television. So I stand today. Bless you. God bless you. Let's pray. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that I didn't offend anyone, Lord. But I pray and remind your people that are called to serve for justice. It's the purpose that you've came. Because, Lord, you said there will be a time of day and judgment when you will say, when I was hungry, you didn't give me food. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. When I was in prison, you didn't come to see me. And they'll say, Lord, when did these things happen? And you will say, as you have done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Lord, help us to remember that we must serve once we get to the table. That you're giving us the heart of a server. Lord, I pray each and every day that we're reminded every time we pass by this great city of Trenton, that you still are Lord and King of all, that the people here will escape the depths of poverty, will be released, those who are imprisoned unjustly, that the education system will turn around here in Trenton and begin to educate these young people as children of God, rightfully so, having an educated mind, a clean heart, and pure mind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.